Hello, I'm Rachel Roberts.
And I'm Megan Segura.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
With us as always, well, 2 weeks in a row, Nicole Day.
Woo! Hi, it's me.
Nicole, you got your first fan tweet.
Already.
Really?
I'm jealous.
Yeah, and you didn't even give your Twitter handle. You refused.
Wow. Let me hear it.
Okay. At SamGo288. Okay. So Deaf Missing Gross Raisin, Grace Rosen. But new producer Nicole is winning points with the RHOA references and tagline. She came through. Megsiger and Rachie Robb just gave me another imaginary friend to speak with in my car.
And oh, my God.
And then she used a Porsche gif.
Oh.
She's like shimmying.
I love that. That's who I want to be, your imaginary friend for sure.
So. Just like not your real friend.
Yeah.
Okay, you didn't have to say all that.
So yeah, you've made it.
Yeah.
Fame. Is this what it's like?
Yeah. Welcome to the pedestal.
What? How does it feel?
You know, I'm just going to remain humble.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Just be the nice person I am.
Do you have some news for us?
I do. Okay, so word on the street is one of the newest OC wives, Gina, recently filed for divorce.
Gina, she is the one that I said was expressive.
In the video.
Yes, we recently recorded our reactions to the Super Tease, and we put a link in the description. Please watch it.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, she's the expressive one, and she's already getting divorced.
Yeah, she's the one from the East Coast.
Oh, right. And the season hasn't even started. I mean, we are days away from the premiere of OC.
Dun, dun, dun. OC, season 13. Do you think it's good or bad? Or is this the beginning of, like, the omens of a 13?
A marriage
is already in the dust.
Oh, that's true. It also just makes me more excited to watch what happens with her this season.
Imagine being her. You just filed for divorce. You're going into this brand new thing, this brand new experience of watching yourself, and you have to watch your marriage that you just decided to end.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's 7 years of marriage.
7 years.
And three children.
Three kids, and they're all under five.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow. But fun fact, we always do a call with new housewives to kind of like welcome them to the Bravo family, introduce ourselves. She was in the LA office, so we did it over conference call. It was her and the other new wife. And they seem really fun and super beautiful over the conference call camera.
So they filed for divorce in April.
Okay. I talked to her Friday.
Well, she's known this for a while.
Yeah.
And just announced. Ooh. You talked to her on Friday and the news went out over the weekend?
Yeah.
Whoa. She was sitting on a secret.
Yeah. She seemed happy. So.
Okay. Well, good. Maybe it's a good transition for her. But wait, wasn't her statement like, oh, wait, we have it.
Let me read. Oh, you want? Oh. Go ahead.
After careful consideration and deep thought, we've decided to end our legal marriage. With that said, we will never end our friendship and will forever remain family. I mean, we're literally going to watch it unfold in front of our eyeballs.
In 4 days.
Ah!
Can't wait.
Or like three if you're listening on Friday.
All right, so more. Okay. David Foster and Catherine McPhee got engaged. This is fifth marriage. And the second for Catherine.
Second for Catherine, you said?
Second for Catherine.
Why? I don't understand why after a first marriage you get remarried. Let alone after 4 failed marriages, you're like, yep, I want to do this again.
Right. Like, just be together for like a while and see.
Those weddings must cost a fortune.
I was reading somewhere where like, She posted on Instagram the message she sent to her friend announcing the engagement, where she was like, he took me up to this cliff in Italy, and he basically said something of like, it's either throwing you over or marriage or something.
What?
I'll pull it up.
Well, yeah. Mystic Michaela, who is a psychic that's been on our show, she's psychic to Megan King Edmonds, if you don't remember. And she always does these posts on Instagram about...
And Rachel Roberts and Megan Segura.
Right. She has posts about people's auras, especially as it pertains to relationships. And she said these two are probably not going to last. Because she said David is someone who ultimately always wants to be the center of attention, which is why he couldn't handle Yolanda's illness.
This is such a... What is it? Potomac conversation.
Yeah.
Because I talk about this on Potomac this week. But anyway.
Right. But so, and she said that Catherine, while right now it fulfills her to make him happy, that over time she's going to want career, fame, those things for herself.
But she already has those things for herself.
But meaning like it's going to become a priority again.
Oh, it's not a priority right now? The marriage is the priority? She's starring on Broadway. What is the age difference?
Oh, okay. So she's 34 and he is 68.
Exactly double her age.
Interesting. Well, as I learned on a little show called Age Gap Love on Netflix.
You know what I was going to say? Megan, this is so perfect as a transition into our new favorite show.
Age Gap Love.
Age Gap Love.
It is very good. I highly recommend it. And you just realize love is love.
Yeah. You're going to start it and you're like, how many episodes of this can I watch? Several.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe soon we'll be seeing David and Catherine on Age Gap Love. And you just talked to Yolanda. She was literally just in the office.
Right. And someone said, well, did you ask her about David Foster dating Catherine McPhee? I'm like, no, I'm not.
A monster.
Yeah. Like, also, I want her to like me. I'm not going to rip off that Band-Aid. But I did ask her about her current relationship. And she was just like, I'm not going to tell you. She's like, you guys have seen enough of my love life.
Aww.
So yeah, Yolanda was pretty coy and wouldn't tell me if she was in a relationship or any of those details, but she said a lot of other interesting stuff, and the link to that interview is in the description below. But burying the lead, because the biggest news was you went to the Real Housewives of Potomac reunion.
Yes, I was there. I recorded some stuff just for you guys.
Oh.
Some just my thoughts.
Yeah.
Some with the ladies.
Oh.
Pretty exciting. Giselle, who has always yelled at me for not being on the podcast. She's always like, Rachel, why am I not on your podcast? Well, Giselle, you're very busy.
Let's listen to it.
Hey guys, this is Rachel. I'm at the reunion. We just filmed with all the ladies this morning. And we've been watching maybe 2 or 3 segments of the reunion. Oh my God, it's so good. First of all, there are some amazing new looks. Like, I literally saw one of the housewives in the hallway and I was like, oh my God, and she gave me this big hug because she looks f***ing amazing. But all of their outfits are really good. Like, Robin, I think, might be my favorite. Or actually, I think Candace is my favorite. Like, she came out first reunion, she looks amazing. And it's like a different silhouette. It's not necessarily what you would think, but it's my favorite look. Caitlin, our video producer, agrees.
Yes.
Yeah, but they all look stunning. I'm gonna go out on a big limb here and say that I think they might be one of the most beautiful casts we have. Like, they're just all like stunning in person. Like, I filmed with Monique before she even got her full face on, and me and Caitlin left the room. We were just like, oh my God, she doesn't even have to put makeup on. She is stunning. She has her little bump. She looks so cute on the reunion couch. I'm hoping I'll get some of the ladies to talk to you guys later. But by the way, like, second question in, they like went in, like not holding back. Like, we already did a whole package about one of the wives who was like a lot of drama this season. But so far, Karen has been like quiet, which I'm surprised about. But we haven't gotten to all of her drama yet. The biggest clashes so far, I'd say, between Candace and Ashley, Giselle and Candace, and Giselle and Monique for sure. And Monique and like everyone, really. Oh, but it's been really good. Yeah, I know you guys always want to know what people were eating at the reunion. And this morning there was eggs, like a frittata kind of a thing, French toast, berries, French toast casserole, yeah. And sausage and stuff. And what did Ashley eat?
Ashley ate fruit and she had a green tea. It was a big undertaking to get that green tea, but we got it.
Okay, yeah, green tea, not coffee.
Yeah.
Just as much caffeine though. Did you know that? Green tea has like a ton of caffeine.
Oh yeah, she wanted caffeine. She does not like English breakfast.
Good to know, good to know. So yeah, but they're all like, I was like, Monique had this like zen energy when we interviewed her. So did Karen. Karen the whole time was just like, I'm just gonna keep it chill. Whereas like Giselle was like, bop, 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 bop. And Ashley, oh my God, You can go to bravotv.com and watch some videos in the next upcoming weeks. And Ashley's like going in, not letting go, like cracking jokes, just like ball of energy from the get. It was amazing. Same with Candace. Like, she's totally pulling it out for her first reunion. So that's where we're at now. We're gonna go to lunch soon. I'll report more. Okay, guys, so it's me again, Rachel. Later in the day now. We're about to break for lunch. But I like I'm just wiping away tears. As everyone knows, I'm a big crier. But like, oh my God, I'm like gonna cry talking about it.
Oh, you are.
There's a walk-off that just happened, but not like a normal walk-off. It was like different than I think anyone I've ever seen. It just really got tense here. And then there was a special guest. There was a fly. Full disclosure, the fly started in the room that we're in. I feel like it is our fault. And it came at like the worst moment. And like even Andy couldn't hold himself together. One of the ladies was like giving, like pouring her heart out. And there was this like fly on her. It was amazing. But also it was like, that was so sad. It's a lot. So yeah, a lot of highs, a lot of lows here today. And it's only halfway through.
Well, it's finally happening. Gisele Bryant is here! Yay! Oh my God, I've been waiting all season for you to come in. I'm so happy.
Me too. This is like, and it's like towards the end of the season, so we have so much to talk about.
Oh my God, so much to talk about.
Yeah.
Wow. I want to talk a little bit about how you're always next to Andy. What is that like? Is there like extra pressure on you?
Anybody who's always next to Andy is in trouble. No, I mean, you know, clearly I'm the focal point. I have a lot to say. So, you know, it's good that I'm there because I'm always tapping him like, wait a minute, I have something else. No, it's not. I don't feel like it's pressure. I just feel like you need to be ready to talk a whole lot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What did you think of the couch divide?
I figured that that's how it was going to be, but the only shock was that Robin was not next to me.
I was surprised too.
Yes, I mean she's been next to me season one, season two. I was like, oh, they separated us. Like, and we have so many like side comments to each other that I was kind of sad she wasn't there. And I told Ashley, I was like, Ashley, I love you and all, no shade, but I want Robin next to me.
She was like, oh, Gisele. Ashley backstage, I was asking her who was most likely to interrupt Andy, and she was like, well, definitely Gisele or Karen. That's why they're like closest to him.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, Karen and I, we could have been there all night bickering back and forth.
I want to talk a little about the season, just in general. We're in like Cannes right now.
Yes.
The Erica Lyle stuff just happened.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's going to escalate with Karen and the house towards the end of the season.
Yes.
With the pizza moment and
yes.
Everything.
Yes, yes. So Ashley and Karen have an epic knockdown, drag out, blowout fight in a car. And I think it lasted so long. They're probably going to show maybe a minute of it, maybe 2 minutes. But this fight went on for a good hour. And it was absurd. So actually, I was loving every minute of it, but that's not the point. but we were in a car. We were stuck in a car. And they just got under each other's skin and just went for it. I think, you know, that led up to us saying, okay, look, let's get down to the bottom of this house situation and let's figure it out. And it was really, we really wanted her to answer the door and look at us in these costumes and laugh at us. But she was there. Shocker.
So do we think she lives in that house?
Like I said yesterday, I think she lives in a portion of it. Now, mind you, I just did another interview and I said, no, I don't think she lives there. So
you're telling us one thing and the other people, Gisele.
I know, I got to get it together. All right. So, I mean, I don't know. And truth be told, like, you know, it's weird. Let me tell you why it's weird. You know, Potomac is a small town. People ask me about these girls all day long. And they ask me all the time, like, does Karen really live in Great Falls? And I get that question from random people at the gas station. And I just feel like I really want to be, like, confident in my answer. And I'm just not.
So I think the thing that b- both you and I couldn't stop talking about this week was the speed dating in Real Housewives of New York City. Have you ever been speed dating?
No.
Yeah, I don't think it's really something people our age do necessarily, except Crystal, our fellow digital producer, has been on the podcast. She went once.
Yes, she went once, but like
speed dating for lesbians.
Speed dating for me is something of the past before there was like Tinder and all these other internet dating and all these other ways to meet people. Like, I understand why it was a thing.
Did watching it make you wish that people still sped dated?
If only because I would want to see how good or bad my friends were at flirting too.
Oh, right. Just to be one of the watchers. Yes. To be the Dorinda or the Tinsley. Yes, yes. Yeah.
I would play the role of Dorinda.
Yeah.
In this episode of Roni.
Okay, tell me some of your favorite moments.
I mean, there were so many. From the get, I think that Sonia is the MVP for me.
Of like the best or the worst?
The best, because I'm going to tell you why.
All right, tell me.
She can say something to a man like,
do I smell like mothballs?
No.
Are you sure? Because this is an old Valentino suit that I pulled out. I thought it would.
No, you don't smell like mothballs.
All right.
And she's still in. Yeah. She's still there. If I were to say that to a man at a bar, I'd be like, who the hell is this person?
Well, Sonia looks like Sonia. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's a very sexy woman.
Oh. So unlike you. Rude.
No, I just, I wasn't speaking to that part of your sentence.
Once again. Oh.
You have told me on this podcast I'm not sexy, so you know what? I stand by it.
True. Karma is, as they say, a bitch.
She just said so many things. Like, she said the thing about
his face.
I like your skin.
You like my skin?
Yeah, I grew up with that kind of ruddy red skin.
That's not a compliment, Sonia.
But she likes it. She likes the ruddy skin.
That's like me saying, oh, I like your hands. They're wrinkly like my father's.
acne scars. I know those, too. Yeah. but that's why I thought she won, because that's her game. And we know that she does well.
I also think there is something to the tactic of just saying the most outrageous thing. Mm. Because she was able to sniff out the weirdo real quick.
It's much.
I mean, I don't know. Is that too judgmental?
No. I think on like a first speed date, if you grab someone's head and say you have the cat of nine tails, it's not weird at all.
Okay, because I'm not judging anyone for having a
cat of nine tails,
a feisty sex life. Right. Good for you. But absolutely. I'm saying Christian Grey waited a while before he revealed those details to Anastasia. And yeah, the fact that he knew the lingo, it's like, oh, he's not f***ing around. He has a dungeon.
There's like a spank like that, and then there's guys that are like, who wants that?
Got the cat of nine tails.
So at work, I Googled the cat of nine tails, and it was embarrassing, and now that's in my work search history forever.
Oh, and then he would tie her up and leave her with hand marks the next day.
Oh, what? But she's like, everybody likes hand marks.
And when you're done, you don't do hand marks.
Oh my God, I love hand marks the next day. Oh my God.
All right, what else?
So that's Sonia.
Luann also not ready. Luann was so not impressed with the display of men.
No, she was so not here for it. Even at the beginning, they're like, you're here too, Lou? And she was like, yeah.
Yeah, you could tell what she wanted to be like. They made me come.
I had to date.
What about Ramona?
If not Sonia for MVP, Ramona just hit it out of the park.
Right. The tongue thing, I'm so happy Dorinda called out, because it's true. Every time she's talking to a man and she says something that starts with an L,
it's very like, share. You can't see us, but now we're just like sticking our tongues out at each other.
Making out with each other.
Did you see the tongue come out there, Gregory? Just a little bit of a cobra tongue. But she does every so often than this.
Watching Ramona do speed dating is like watching a fluffy little kitty before it pounces upon a tiny little mouse. She's licking her chops, she's licking her paws, she's getting in the pounce position.
I mean, there were just so many things. Like, she would do things, like when he was talking about his mom, she's like, I love that. And she would just, like, she would always, like, every now and then, like, touch his hand. Like, she is an excellent flirt.
When she kissed the, guy on the lips because he said that he thought she was in her 40s.
You're 44. Oh, honey, I'm way older than you, but I'm not even telling you my age.
You don't reveal?
I'm 61. What'd you think I was? Like, more like...
More like me?
More like 44? Ah! Woo! Thank you. You just gave me the best compliment of the night.
Amazing.
Maybe that's how you feel, though, when you're like 60. How old is she?
I'm sure, but like, can you imagine him?
Maybe he liked it.
Maybe he liked it.
She looks amazing.
Yeah. You know who I felt bad in all of this? There was a guy standing at the bar when Sonia walked in, and he was like, oh, I'm here for speed date. And she goes, oh, well, I won't talk to you then. I'll wait for the speed date. And then later, Ramona was at the bar, and he tried to make conversation with her and said, I think Bethany thinks that guy likes her. She goes, I don't care.
So I think
Pardon? Bethany thinks that he likes her.
I don't really care who he likes. He brought me a drink, so I want to bring him a drink.
I didn't even put that together that maybe he was like, no, leave them alone. Maybe I can talk to you.
Yes.
She had to get a tequila.
I know. Poor guy.
Oh, that makes me sad for him.
Oh, I wanted to ask you. Sex, love, food, laugh. What?
I just read. What nationality are you? American.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Amel.
Amel.
Yes, how are you?
What nationality are you, Amel?
I'm American.
Okay.
All right. Sex, love, food, and laughter. Rate them.
Oh, my God. What a good question. I think I'm going to go with laughter number one.
Okay.
Love number two.
Okay.
Sex number three, and food last.
Almost the same. I just changed out love number one, laughter two. Sex three, food last.
Clearly, we don't care about food or sex at
all. Bethany put sex at the very bottom.
Yeah.
And I disagree. Even when it's bad, it's good?
No.
Sex is like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's good.
And I'm in the pizza business, so we're good.
You're in the pizza business? No, I like pizza.
No. No.
And this is coming from someone that loves bad pizza. It is not the same.
You were going to say, this is someone that comes from, that loves you bad, bad sex. Yeah, no, when it's bad, it's like the worst ever.
So why would you want a lifetime of that?
The worst pizza, I've never been like, why, God, am I doing this as I eat it? Like, you know? Mm. But maybe she's never had bad sex.
Oh, I did think this was so interesting that, so Brian, the man in the
Brian
red scarf.
Brian with the red scarf.
Right. Which again, it's not over for him. He keeps coming up. But... when she was saying that he likes her, but she's not interested, and she said, I don't want to yet again make myself like someone because of how much they like me. And I was like, oh, Jason.
Oh, you think?
Yes.
That you said, you know what, that guy Brian, what a good guy.
It's a flattering story, but truth be told, he's not really my type, and I don't want to yet again make myself like someone because of how much they like me.
It's such a relatable thing, though.
Yeah.
Because I think that, like, when someone likes
it's
you,
it's attractive.
Like, it's an attractive quality. And yeah. Then, like, who doesn't like to be liked? I do. Someone, go like my Instagram, please.
But, of course, they think our favorite moment is...
You owe me a drink, so I made you a drink. Cheers.
Cheers.
It's so good because it's so true.
And then she went back to her seat just so, like,
pleased with herself.
Yeah. Yep.
Totally.
But she is so good at flirting. Like, it looks ridiculous, but, like, it works.
Right. Like, because those are the things that men want, right? To someone who's attentive, zeroed in on them.
Complimentary.
Yes. Engaged with their body language.
Right, right. Sips on a straw from the side.
Sexily.
Yeah, sexually
touches
sipping.
Them.
Yep.
She wrote an article on flirting, remember?
Right, yeah. I will never forget. And isn't it the same one where she's like a bodybuilder in it?
Ramona, season two, I think.
It's a season two. It's that far back.
Yeah.
She gives it to Bethany, being like, here's
this is some how notes. You flirt with men.
I bet she has not changed a thing.
No.
I bet all of those are like what we saw tonight.
Exactly.
I wish we could look it up and then like find each moment. Anyway, Ramona, A plus job. Speaking of traveling, we're at the beginning of the Potomac trip to France.
Yes.
Ashley's super good at French.
Yeah, she is.
I'm like so impressed by
her. Even when she's not actually speaking French, just doing the accent.
Yeah, but there's video on BravoTV.com behind the scenes, and she speaks in like full sentences, and it's like great. Anyway, I'm vamping for the most important part of this is that lobby fight between Giselle
and Karen
and Erica Lyles. She's right. Not there, but she is there.
Okay, so we have this accusation from Giselle that Karen's husband is into Erica.
Not just into her, wants to lick her up and down.
Very happily married woman.
Yes.
Can you understand that?
Yes, she is.
And so are Ray and Ray. I. So this is
wants to lick her
this
up.
This is what we're
down.
Not gonna do.
And around.
Y'all, can we not?
Bye bye.
And love you.
All very bye. In the dust.
You don't have you. Not in the
you right. Up ahead. That's why Ray wants Erica Lyles.
Is that not the most like specific thing you've ever heard?
I just want to know what Erica thinks watching this episode. Like, why did you bring me into this? Because, I mean, that's kind of awkward for Erica now. Because she's married, right?
She's married. Kids.
And so even if she's not doing anything wrong, it's still like...
I don't want to know that Ray Huger wants to lick me up and down.
Now I have to feel weirded out every time I see him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just was such an intense thing to bring up. Giselle will just say whatever. Like, right. She'll just be like, Karen, where do you live?
Right.
Or I'm going to wear hashtags free Karen Huger tax reform.
Right.
Like, she's not afraid to just be like, this is ridiculous and I'm going to say it.
Right.
And if you're wondering who Erica Lyles is, we know that she's Giselle Bryant's business partner.
Right.
I've done a little digging on the internet. Same with Nicole. She found a very important fact.
Yeah, she's like friends with Tina Knowles and Gail King. Like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
The Tina Knowles and the Gail King.
Yeah.
Those ones.
Wow.
Yeah. They're like best friends. They hang out all the time, apparently.
Who would you guys rather have as a best friend, Tina or Gail?
Tina.
Oh, I was going to say Gail.
Me too. Because Oprah.
Yeah.
Beyonce.
I know. You'd have the Beyonce connection, but I don't think Beyonce's open to having new friends.
I didn't think about my connection to Beyonce.
The connection is all that matters.
Right.
I care about Oprah.
You care about Oprah more than Beyonce?
Yes.
We're fighting.
Wow.
That.
I disagree.
Okay.
More Beyonce for me.
Thank you.
And Nicole.
An ally.
But we're not done with Potomac. We have two interviews, Robin Dixon and Candace Dillard from Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yeah, I talked to Robin all about her relationship status now with Juan.
Mm.
But most exciting, she was looking at our wall and was like, oh, Kenya, I love her. And I asked her about like, oh, do you know any other wives?
Yeah.
And she told me that she was with Kenya like right before she got married and was like secretly texting Mark. We are here with Robin Dixon.
Woo!
Yay! Thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure. Yes. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, congrats on season 3.
Thank you.
Can you believe it's been 3 seasons?
I cannot. I mean, I'm like, what crazy person does this? And I've been doing this for 3 seasons, so I guess I'm a crazy person.
What has been the most surprising thing about being on the show?
Jeez.
And we're going in right away.
There's
sorry.
Tons of surprising things. I want to say just, okay, so it's one thing to, like, film the show. And so, you know, you go through, like, all the emotions during that. But it's actually kind of harder to relive the show and watch it while it's airing. So that's kind of surprising to me because it's just, you know, when you feel like you've moved on from stuff or it almost magnifies the issues, like, when you watch it back. And then you have, you know, people saying all types of crazy stuff on social media and then... You know, you have to deal with your castmates who you feel like are telling one side of the story. You know, it's just, it's a lot. And so that is pretty surprising to me how, like, it gets, while the show is airing, it gets kind of ugly.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Has anyone said anything or like you've seen a situation differently from watching it back?
You know, it's kind of interesting because I feel like so much gets left out. And I know it's a show. So, and I think it's kind of to give, it's very interesting because it's something, like I will watch something and then I'll receive comments and I'm like, are we watching the same show? Like, what, I don't
That's
even.
That's not what happened.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't even know where you all are getting this stuff from because I'm watching the same show you're watching and I don't even see how anyone can like, can interpret things differently than what I know them as. Right. But I think, you know, there's a good job. The show does a good job of leaving things to interpretation. Mm. You know, like that water cooler talk, so that you have two people who may have two completely different opinions about a scene or about some drama between two people. And one person will see it one way and another person sees it a completely different way. And it's just very interesting to see how things can be seen differently. However, I feel like everything that I did or said was true to how I felt and believed at that time and a reaction to what other people were saying or doing. And just to see it be interpreted other ways is pretty interesting to me. I mean, I could acknowledge probably that umbrella scene. I probably took it a step too far. I mean, really? Well, in a sense, like she challenged me. She said, you know, say it to my face and see what's going to happen. I wanted to see what's going to happen. Like, I knew nothing was going to happen. Like, not a damn thing, right? Like, but when you are so mouthy, like, and you come out of your mouth to that, okay, let me see what's going to happen. So I got in her face, see what's going to happen. And I should have just left it at that rather than trying to, like, bait her into, like, doing something more, which I knew she wouldn't have done. So, but, you know, when tensions rise, it's like, you know, people kind of, you don't even realize, like when after the fact, I'm like, I don't even remember what happened. Like, I didn't even realize she had an umbrella to my neck. So after the fact, like, people are like, oh my God, she had an umbrella on your neck. I was like, she did? I didn't know. I was just trying to get her to like do something because she was so big and bold. So you know, I look back and I'm like, okay, I probably could have just taken it down like a couple of notches. I still would have challenged her. Be like, what are you going to do? Nothing. But you know.
Well, the viewers thank you for not backing down.
Yeah.
You were talking a little bit coming to the office today about the Real Housewives of Orange County. Do you watch the other shows? Are you're like, yeah, an exclusive group now with the Housewives?
Yeah. So, you know, I kind of dibble and dabble with all of them. I am like super busy. So like, I don't like, even when our show is on, I'm kind of like in a basketball gym. Like I'm always just all over the place. So I watch enough to know what's going on. I've always watched OC. Like, so I pretty much keep up with, you know, what's going on with them. I love like New York. It's funny. I used to not like New York and now I'm like, I love it. It's that one should be a case study because
go on.
It should be a case study because these women have been doing this for so long, but they still feel fresh to me. Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? It's something so interesting about it. And I'm like, gosh, like how can we, I want to follow like that model. Like, how do we just keep it where it feels authentic and genuine and fresh and not like people are, it's like they don't, it doesn't feel like they're housewives. Like it doesn't feel like they're celebrities or famous.
Yes.
Where I think on some of the shows, like the status goes to people's heads a little bit and they change and the way they act and the things that they say and the things that they show like change. And you feel like you're not seeing like a real, real full on genuine life. And I just think New York, like they do a really great job.
Yeah, they put it all out there.
Yeah.
I've seen all of them more than I thought I would ever see.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, well, I'm sure. You're right here. I'm sure they're like in here all the time. Like, Rachel!
Do you know any of the other housewives? Have they been in contact or anything?
So I know Kenya. She came in town and we had dinner and I love her. She's such a doll. Yeah. So we keep in touch. I haven't really, it's funny. Like, I don't think I met Portia, but it was very brief. But I don't really know anyone else.
Okay. So yeah. Kenya.
Yes.
Nice.
She's a doll. I love her.
Did you guys commiserate just about being housewives or anything?
We did, but it was also just, you know, this is funny. So we met when before she got married. But the whole time she's like FaceTiming this guy. She's like, you know, and we're like, and so Giselle was with me and we're like, who's that? And then a few months later it was like she secretly got married, and I was like, okay, like, and I totally understood because I saw how like smitten she was. But you know, even though she was kind of still being secretive about it, I could tell that she was smitten with someone. So when I saw that she got married, I was like, "Oh, that's awesome!"
Good, oh my God, I love that. Yeah. She was just like already, just like over the moon.
She was so smitten.
Oh, yeah. But I wanted to get into your relationship with Juan.
Okay,
we have to ask. We're kind of seeing maybe you guys moving forward. I know you guys live together now, but maybe rekindling. Is that maybe happening?
Yeah. You know, it's weird. Like, I really can't put like a title or a definition on what we are, but we are moving towards a better place. And so I think, you know, we haven't like definitively said, you're my boyfriend, or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
that's just weird, you know, like, so, but I think we kind of are moving in that direction where we're like ready to just say, you know what, let's try to focus on each other and, you know, move forward. So we'll see.
Oh, well, that's so exciting. Yeah. I know fans are going to be excited to
Thank
hear that.
You.
What does it feel like knowing everyone is like in love with your husband or ex-husband?
I think it's awesome. I mean, look, I would rather people to think he's hot than to be like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and I mean, and honestly, like him being hot, like that helps me out. You know what I mean? It's like, we're like a nice little package.
Yes.
And so I love it. I mean, he is. And he's always been handsome, and you know, he's an amazing person. He's grown a lot, and I love that the world can see that in him as well. I hated season two and how people perceived him, because I feel like when the cameras were around, he just wasn't in the mood to film, and it came through, and that was the perception that people had of him. So I really love that. He kind of watched himself back from season two, and he was like, oh, yeah, okay, I see, I get it. Like, let me act like myself. Yeah, let me act like myself rather than being annoyed with the cameras. Because it is it's not normal.
Oh, right, it's not like an everyday thing to just have cameras in your
cameras,
house.
Cameras, lights, people, you know, that it's just not normal. And so it took him a while to grasp that and to get comfortable with that. And so I love that people are seeing a different side of him.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions, that he seems much more open this year to be on camera.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he realizes that, you know, his little attitude, it's like on camera, it's like magnitude, it's magnified. And so he didn't want that to be the story of our relationship, because that's not what it was. Like, even during season two, we weren't in a bad place. It just looked that way.
Right.
So
it's, I remember you saying last time you were here that he doesn't really watch the show, but it sounds like he does. Is he watching now?
So it's funny. He'll say like he doesn't watch it, and then if it's on, he'll like sit and watch it. And I'm like trying to like change the channel, because
like, I don't want you to see this necessarily.
Right, because he comes back at me and he's like, I told you not to say anything to Karen. I told you not to. Like, he'll come back and like tell me, like, didn't I say, don't do that? And I'm like, oh God, you weren't supposed to see this because you don't watch the show. But now you're like watching the show, and now I'm getting in trouble for things. And then, but then it's funny. So like, we were one of the episode when we were in Nema Colon, and it was going to commercial, and Karen calls me a dizzy bitch, and it goes to commercial, and it like cuts to commercial, and he's like, I hope you lead into her. And I was like, I'm like, wait, okay, like, I'm confused. What do you want me to do?
Am I leaning in or am I not?
Right. Do you want me to be nice? Do you want me to mind my business? Do you want me to cuss people out? Like, I don't know. But I was like, no. I was like, Juan, like, I just let her have that moment. Like, so he was like pissed. And then there'll be times when he's like, he sees something. He'd be like, what's her number? I'm calling her now. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. Or what's his number? Like, if a little husband gets involved and he's like, oh, that's some, what? I can't even believe he's falling for that stuff. What's his number? I'm like, Juan, seriously. So he actually, that scene at Monique's party, when I get into it with Monique, and then I got into it with Ashley, And I left. I called him from the car and I said, I'm on my way home. And he's like, what happened? I'm like, well, they're at, you know, Ashley's at it again. Like, I literally had to leave because I felt myself getting to a point where I was going to explode. And I was like, I can't do this. So, so I left and I was in the car and I was telling him what going on, what happened. He was like, what's her phone number? So he called her. So they didn't show that. Like, they, you know, the cameras got her talking to him and she's like, what? I'm not going to talk to you. It was crazy. And he's like, Ashley, leave my family alone. You know what I mean? Oh, so wow. He's very, both of us are very direct people. Like, we like to communicate when stuff happens rather than just like letting stuff fester. Mm-hmm. So he very much is like, I'm going to talk to her now. And I'm like, okay. So,
do you think that helped your relationship with Ashley at all? Did she like get it more when like Juan too was like, come on? Or,
well, no, not at that moment, because then you saw like, you know,
right. Oh yeah, the lunch later.
Yeah, we go to the lunch and she's still yapping and I'm like, you know, I think Ashley just realized she just needed to let it go. Like it was just weird to me. Like, why did she care so much? I didn't understand that. So
You mentioned Karen, so we have to talk about it. Number one, this pizza delivery. How did that happen? You're the one delivering the pizza, right?
Yes. Right. How did I? So this was all Giselle and Ashley's idea. Like, they swore up and down that Karen didn't live in that house. And I'm like, okay, I don't, like, why do you think that? That doesn't make sense. Like, who would just like get a house and stage it and not live there? Like, it just, I'm like, okay, I'm along for the ride though. So they're like, you know, we got to do a stakeout. We got to go, you know, roll up and spy and see if she's there. I'm like, whatever. I'm like, look, I don't quite agree with what they're saying, like that she doesn't live there. But I'm like, yeah, I'll roll with you. I'll see what happens. Now, how I became the delivery man.
I was going to say, but you're the culprit.
Right. How I became the delivery man, I do not know. But you know what? Like, honestly, like, I just like to laugh and have fun and be silly and goofy. And I looked at it as just like a fun moment. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Like, she answers the door and I'm like, here's your pizza.
Right.
You know, because like, it could be like, you know, she sees me dressed in a mustache and a beard and she gets a kick out of it, or she's like yelling at me and calling me all types of names. Like,
right.
At this
but that's
point,
happened before.
Exactly. So I'm like, you know, I mean, cause, so even like with the wig thing, when we stole her wig,
right?
I was scared she was going to be livid. It was like, oh, I'm like, oh my God, she's going to be so mad. Then we went in her stuff and Ashley put her wig on, but like, she got the biggest kick out of it.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, thank God. But so it was one of those situations. Like, I was really hoping she would answer the door and just get a kick out of me, the pizza delivery man.
And then definitively, do you think Karen lives there now after that?
I do. I thought she lived there before, and I think she lives there now.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Robin. This
You're
was
welcome.
So fun.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Robin. It was a pleasure as usual. You are so pretty. So Candace, new housewife. So we talked all about like entering housewifedom and what that's like. But also her and Charisse, after that big bitch, shady bitch moment, like still not on good terms.
Yeah.
Where are they now? Find out. We are here with Candace Dillard.
Hello.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm here. I'm in New York.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
What's
it's
happening?
So exciting.
Yeah.
When I said hello to you earlier, you sang a little bit for me.
I did. Well, it was just a little bit of hello.
Oh, so good.
It's me.
We get little tastes on the show, and
I
just want to hear more.
Oh, my gosh. Look, the girls hate my singing because I do it all the time. But I've just always been that way. I came out of the womb singing, I think. And I used to walk through the house just making up songs. And I forget a lot of things. Like, if I'm packing and I forget something, the only way that I'll remember something is if I make up a song to it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, like, I have a satin pillowcase that I sleep on when I travel so that my hair doesn't break off.
Mm-hmm.
And I always forget it. So I made up a song. And how does it go? It's, Don't forget your pillowcase, or your hair will get real nappy and you won't be very happy.
Oh my God, that was so good. Oh my God. That could be a single.
I wasn't warm.
You're going to pillowcase single is going to be coming out.
The pillowcase song.
So we do something that's fun with First Wives called the First Wives Club.
Oh.
So we just have like a bunch of questions since you're new. So first of all, can you state your full name for the record?
My full name is Candace Dominique Dillard.
Ooh, Dominique is the middle name.
Yes.
And then you have such a unique spelling of your name.
I do.
Thanks, how did that come about? Oh, Dad.
Yeah, my dad just wanted an extra letter. And my mom tells everyone that I was named, she named me after her two favorite actresses, Candace Bergen and Dominique Devereaux from the soap opera Dynasty. So Diane Carroll, who played Dominique Devereaux on Dynasty.
Amazing.
So I was born to be dramatic.
Like, I was going to say.
It's not my fault.
Made for housewives. will you be taking Chris's last name?
I will. Yes. Okay. Of course. I will probably keep my last name on like paper, like on social media and such. I've sort of built up a bit of a following, so I want to keep, you know, my followers in the know with Candace Dillard or Miss Dillard. But yes, on paper, I will be Candace Bassett. Oh, that's so weird to say.
Oh my gosh, how exciting. Will you be able to stop saying suspend?
I don't know. I'm trying to use it as much as possible because I know I'm going to be so sad. Like, maybe he'll still be husband, a.k.a. husband.
Yes, I like it. I've been, like, saying it everywhere. It's, like, so fun.
I love it.
So I want to talk to you about joining the cast.
Yes.
What was it like? We're in season 3. You're the new girl.
Gosh. It was, I keep saying this, it was interesting. I went into the experience really with no expectations. I wanted to be a sponge and really take it all in and really get to know the women. And, of course, I watched the show prior to being on the show because it's homework. You have to know the job you're going to do. Okay. You wouldn't go to a job interview and not know what the job is about. Okay. So I did watch. And, of course, I watched because I knew Ashley. I wanted to support my girl, but also because of my proximity to the show. I lived in the DMV. I wanted to see, oh, they're going to this restaurant. I've eaten there. I've been to that bar. But then when I was blessed to become a member of the cast, I made a very concerted effort to not judge based on what I had seen, because you never know, and you want to get to know people at face value, you know, in the flesh, not based on what you see on television. And Giselle will often say that I was a fan and I watched the show and I'm getting a lot of my my beats from the show, from watching the show. And the answer to that is no, it's not true. She knows how to separate real from fake, which is why she does not like Giselle.
Oh, speaking of Giselle, I want to talk to you. Based on your blogs, I'm sensing you two have not made up.
Well, I don't define making up. When you're I feel like with someone like Giselle, there isn't really making up, period. She's perpetually stirring the pot and starting drama. Like, even with her quote-unquote best friend Robin, I would never shade my best friend the way that Giselle has shaded Robin, calling her linebacker shoulders, talking about how her home is only 3 feet bigger than her other home. Those are not the words of a supportive friend. Like, what are we doing? So I see Giselle for who she appears to be to me, and I have that knowledge in my back pocket, and I'm living my best life regardless.
See, you're not the first person to have kind of butted heads, we'll say, with Giselle.
You don't say. You don't say. Yeah, no.
Did you find any camaraderie with Monique and Ashley because of that?
No. I think that my relationship with Monique was totally organic. I was not expecting for us to hit it off like we did at that Bliss brunch at all. Like, it just kind of happened. And those are the kind of friendships that I want to nurture and to explore. And then having already known Ashley, that was a friendship that I want to continue to grow. And even with Karen, totally unexpected. Like, I had no idea that when I met her at Monique's, at Chris's birthday party, we were going to hit it off that way. But she's such a warm spirit, as is Monique. And Ashley is just so free spirited. I just love her energy. That those are the kind of friendships that I want to work on. And then everybody else can kind of just hang out and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
I'm not for everybody.
So, any regrets about anything that happened this season?
Well, yes. So I try to live my life without any regrets, even if it's something that's like kind of cringeworthy. I try to find the purpose in the cringe and like work around it and learn from it. But I will say that there is a moment when Chris and I are leaving an event for Monique. It was like the Boys and Girls Club or some sort of gala. And Chris and I got into a little heated argument at the venue as we're leaving, and then it carried over into the Uber, and then it carried over into the house, and then it carried over into the next day, and it like it became this huge blow up, and I said some things that I wish I had not said, that I said out of anger and feeling attacked. And I think my character flaws is that when I feel attacked, I clap. Like, it's immediate. And I could learn to maybe, in some instances, some, meaning not on that shade wagon of a bus, but in some instances, I could learn to be more introspective and say, okay, well, what have I done or what have I said in this space? And definitely with Chris, especially because he is my husband and I always want to respect him, I do feel like I kind of lost my cool, unfortunately.
What has it been like to, like, watch moments again? Because this is, like, the first time for you, I'm sure.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. And it's nerve-wracking. Like, when I watch the playback, my heart is beating, like, the whole time. Because it's like, oh, shit. What did I say here? Like, what did I do? Oh, my God. What happened? So it's definitely nerve-wracking. But it's really weird to see yourself, like, you know what happened, you were there, you were in the moment, but you don't know maybe what Ashley said or what, you know, Robin said or what faces Giselle was making. So to kind of see it all come together and see it from all angles, it's kind of like, oh, this is kind of great, this is crazy as hell, what are we doing?
What has been, like, the most shocking or surprising thing that you have learned watching it back, like in an interview or not knowing somebody rolled their eyes or
shocking. I don't know. I don't think I'm shocked. I feel like everyone for me has the person that I've seen them to be in person, meaning all the girls on the cast, they come across that same way on the screen. Like, Monique loves to talk. She loves to talk. She's a talker. She loves to flap her gums. She's talking a lot and flapping her gums and giving us all the tea and the information, and she's geeking and laughing and she's being like her fun-loving self. And Ashley surprises me a little bit, though, because you don't realize she's not messy in your face, so to speak. Her shade is more like, I'm going to shade you in this confessional because you can't clap back at me in the confessional. that'd probably be a shocker, that to see how messy she can be.
Yeah. It must be so crazy just to watch back moments of your life and then have to be accountable for them again.
Yes. But I literally try to own all of it. Like, there have been some cringe moments with all of the talk about Chris's penis.
I'm glad you brought it up, because I was like, how do I ask someone?
There have been some cringeworthy moments there, and just seeing all of the commentary from people on social media, and of course my mother is mortified. And like, even my dad, I don't think he's not gonna talk to me about it, because I feel like he wouldn't even know what to say. So like, that's been kind of like, but it's, I have to own my truths, and my truth is my husband has a brown penis. That's the truth. What do you want from me? Like, what do you want from me? I can't make things up. That is, I have to live in my truth, and that's a factual and actual situation.
Well, thank you for sharing with everyone.
You're welcome.
You kind of hinted at this, the big clash on the bus, and you kind of clashed with Giselle. What has the Twitter and social response been?
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm calling it the shade wagon. We were riding up to Nemecolon on the shade wagon. And I've gotten a pretty favorable, supportive response from people. which is a relief, because it can be hard when you know you were there, you know what happened, you know how you felt, and to have like opposing opinions. But for the, you know, there's always detractors and haters everywhere. But for the most part, people see where I'm coming from, and that I don't like to start drama. I don't like to make, you know, waves where there don't need to be any. But if the wave comes to my door, she's going to answer. And I did. And that's really what it was. Charisse made a shady comment. I made the choice to not speak on it at cryotherapy because it just wasn't the right time. And that was my choice. And I stand by that. I don't really subscribe to the idea that I was pushed or puppeteered by Ashley and Monique to speak up for myself on the Shade Wagon. I did that because that was the time that I chose to do it. And I hadn't really seen them from, I didn't see the ladies from cryotherapy to the bus. The next time I saw them was on the bus. So what Charisse said kind of sat with me, and it was kind of like, yeah, you know, that was a shady moment. That was a shady bitch moment. And it might not have come up again, but then Monique brought it up and I commented on it. I wasn't angry about it. I wasn't upset. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't losing sleep over it.
What I thought was funny is that her saying that to you could be viewed as like she, you know, innocuous shade, light mm-hmm. shade. But you saying shady bitch moment, I felt was like just very light shade too.
Yeah, I
didn't think it was like some huge thing.
No, it wasn't. I didn't think about how it would come off. I didn't think, oh, let me not say this because she'll be offended. It was like, ha, 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 yeah, that was just a shady bitch moment, girl. It's all right. And if you see, like, on the show when you're watching that moment, I was talking to Giselle at that moment. And Charisse is, like, steady, like, what? You call me a shady man. You call me a shady man. What? I'm a shady man. And I don't even like acknowledge it until Robin is like, "Wait, she called you a shady bitch." And I'm like,
"I love your impersonations of everyone, by the way.
I'm good at my voices, girl." But no, like, and it's like, oh, okay. What you said was a shady bitch moment. What else is happening? Like, what's next? And it escalated because she then called me, "Oh, I don't play with little girls. I don't play with little girls." Okay, well, I don't play with old women either. What else is going on? Like, what's happening? What's next? And it just kept going because she continued with the attacks. If she had just laughed it off, like I laughed off what she said at cryotherapy, we would have been, you know, kumbayaing and sashaying up to Nemecolon on the shade bus, and it would have been nothing. But because she kept pushing, you're not going to push me and me not push back. That's just not going to happen. And like I said this on Twitter, Charisse brought the drama to my door, and I answered my door. Hello, come in so I can get you together real quick.
So where are you now with Charisse?
So Charisse and I are fine now.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Yeah. We had the moment, and it was what it was in the moment. And then we were kind of drunk. We were drunk in McCollin, and we go to dinner after that lunch. And I am so drained and just completely retired from all of the mess. And I was kind of hungover too because we were drinking all day on the bus. And I just kind of sat there and let everybody else claw each other's eyes out. And after that, Charisse and I kind of have a moment and we just let it go. And I can appreciate that Charisse is also lighthearted and fun. And like I said, I didn't really take offense to her, what she said. What she said about my mom buying the ring was rude. But it's like, okay, girl, you know, I think for me, because I know there are so many things that I can come for in Charisse's life, I just don't, like, you're not serious. You're not for real. All of the women, which is why I'm like, I own my truths, because half of what I'm saying mirrors your life in a lot of ways. Like, at the end of the day, we're all kept bitches, okay? Who cares? Who cares who's writing the checks? Everybody is kept. I think that I exhibit a bit more of a business acumen and, you know, some semblance of independence financially, because I do have my businesses, albeit started or funded and financed by my mother initially, you know, Giselle had to get an investor to, you know, and she has business partners that put in an investment to start Every Hue Beauty. That's standard practice. It's just that mine comes from my mother, and she had to go out and find three other random women to, or friends, whatever, to start her business. But it's, you know, we are all privileged, and that's why I felt comfortable talking about, you know, who I was and where my money came from and what I, how I live my life, because I didn't expect to receive such hypocritical shade from people that are just as kept as they come.
So we have time for one more question. Is there anything you want to set straight for the audience through the season?
I will say this. I said this when we were in France. I am not a monolith. I'm not a monolithic person, a monolithic woman. There are many layers and facets to me. And this show was only 45 minutes a week. Okay. So you're not going to get all of that in one episode or even in one season. And God willing, we get another season and I'm invited back to be on that season. You'll get more of me. You'll see more of me. But I think it's a journey that we're all on together. And I would love for the Twitterverse to just simmer down with their judgments, because it takes time to get to know people. And you will see me, you know, laughing. You'll see me shading. You'll see me crying. You'll see me shading while I'm crying. It's a whole roller coaster that we should just go on together and just love each other.
Well, I love you on the show, and I love reading your blogs. And if you guys aren't reading Candace's blogs, you should, because they're hilarious. And thank you so much for being
this was
here.
So fun. Thank you for having me. Yes.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Candace, for being so open. You did not disappoint in the tea spilling. Thank you.
All right, should we move on to Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
I'm going to start.
Okay.
My Rose was from Potomac, and it was the way that they scanned everyone's beautiful shoes before going out on the town in Cannes and then stopping on Karen's sneakers.
I love those shoes.
That's so cute.
I'm loving it. Karen, you're ready to walk around.
Thank you. Now you're ready to walk around.
Karen looks like she just rolled out of a bed, slapped a sideways wig on, and has her CVS shoes.
Where is your South of France attire? Where?
You know, I get it. They're practical. It just, I don't know. It made me laugh. After a couple days of sightseeing this weekend with my friend, I was like, I need some arch support. I literally said that to my friend yesterday. So I get it, Karen. And Karen's double nickels, remember?
Right. What?
She's 55.
Oh. What was your rose?
This is back to... I wanted to say it earlier, but I was holding it for my rose. During the speed dating, when this man asked Luann a perfectly normal, innocuous question, like, how was your holiday? Which is just so funny,
right?
Considering what happened. And then she's like, well, I went to Florida and then I stayed in Florida.
It's a long story, but let's see. I started in Florida and I stayed in Florida. I was supposed to go to South America. It didn't pan out.
You didn't make it.
Didn't make it.
Imagine being Luann and having to like...
Imagine being the guy and she later. And if she went into it. You know what I mean?
And I was like, well, I got arrested because I went into the wrong hotel room. And insisted that it was mine.
My thorn is Joao from Below Deck Men. And you must feel terrible because on the heels of you defending him.
I don't feel bad about this.
What?
No.
He says to Casey, yeah, the love triangle's
is
over. I like you.
And does he say that though?
Yes, he does.
He says, I like you.
Yes, it's over.
Love triangle. It's over.
Yeah, thank for that. No, legit.
And then he kisses Brooke. Not cool, Joao.
Well, I think that there's lots of things going on here. Okay, because I'm like, Casey, where's it going to go? You want the real deal. Joao doesn't want the real deal. Like, I don't think that he really wants the thing yet. And that's what you're looking for. And I get you like kind of caught the feels for him. But like at the end of the day, you know what? It's probably better that he made out with Brooke. Emily Exton just made a really good point, the supervising producer of this podcast, that look at Wes and Malia. True love at sea. So maybe it could happen.
Anything's possible.
Right. But not now, because he kissed Brooke. But also, like, it made me feel bad for Brooke, because Brooke was like, help me, please.
Help me, Joelle. Do you please, feel the way? Sir,
can I have some more?
No, please just help me. Just tell me how you really feel. I don't care what.
It just was so, like, just stand up and say what you want, you know? Don't, like,
ask for permission.
Yeah, or it just was like, pity me. And it's like, no, you're awesome. You're, like, very pretty and cool, too. Like, go for it. Don't, like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What was your thorn?
My thorn.
Sounds like Brooke was your thorn.
No. Well, I had two. So number one was everyone laughing at Candace.
And for me, as a pageant title holder and being in the public eye and being on the news and being someone who is seen and out in the world, it's sometimes we had a big argument about it. Is that funny?
I'm looking at Giselle, her face like this.
Because Giselle is a hater. Anyway, as I was saying.
Oh, on the trip.
I know. Potomac. I thought it was really mean.
Very hazy behavior.
Yeah. It was just kind of like, she's trying to like say something to like bond with them too and be like, I just had this huge fight with my husband because like he said something that, and I think that they
They're laughing at the fact that she's talking about herself and her fiance like they're big deals.
Right, but I think what she was trying to say is like being in the public eye as a Miss USA, people always say that I'm a princess. So right. He saying that was really hurtful, but the way she said it was like, well, being in the public eye. So like I
it was
get
ill-timed.
Ill-timed, but I don't think that was the purpose. She was just trying to relate and they were just mean. And then number two was hearing everyone barf on Below Deck.
Right.
It was
good.
The grossest. It was like too much. I didn't need to know. I could have just been told that that was happening. I didn't need to hear it myself.
I think everyone's seasick.
Kirsten and Demita, we knocked on their door, but she was puking.
But yeah, we'll see what happens. I cannot wait to find out what I think Casey's going to be done. I think she's just going to be like, you had your chance and you blew it.
Yeah.
Buddy, go back with your snakes.
Well, we want to know what your roses and thorns were this week. Please tweet us using the hashtag BravoDailyDish. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
You can find me on Twitter at Rachie Robb and me on Instagram at Suspiciously Small.
And you can find me at.
You can tweet the show at Bravo using the hashtag BravoDailyDish.
And I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me.